Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings, broadcasting live in a very fancy studio, which is my Dodge truck, here at the Coconino Horse Trials up in Flagstaff, Arizona.
And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 15th, 2011, episode number 185, sponsored today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Freestyle Friday today because we have Jamie in her truck on location at her event. Well, did you get there okay yesterday?
You know, I did. I made it. I do have to tell you that this trailer loading thing is becoming more and more of a problem because my neighbor saw me trying to load all by myself and she's like, do you want me to come over the, you know, walk around the fence and come over and help you? I was like, please, please. So she came over. All he needed was a little whip behind him, and then he jumped in. But we're going to have to figure this out because he's just getting worse and worse and worse. But we made it here safe and sound. We got here unloaded. I lunged him. I then went and rode him. And Jennifer, you'll probably appreciate this because, you know, I'm on an ex-racehorse who raced for quite a long time. And, you know, he's never really seen the woods, he's never really seen hills, and he's right now here in the woods amongst the hills. However, where the dressage arena is, you have to walk down the hill, and then this vast expanse opens up. And, you know, my horse is actually, Jet was like way chill, he was walking down the hill, I was on the buckle, and then he sees the dressage arenas, which are located on a racetrack.
Oh, no.
Every stinking dressage arena is inside this track. And so I have to ride him out onto the track.
Oh, no.
And he was so good until he saw that track. And my goodness, his head sprung up. His ears went forward. He started dancing.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, poor guy. That's
so
what you
dressage,
needed.
Yeah, it's going to be a little more of an adventure than I was expecting, but you know, what are you going to do?
Now, where you're at, too, now, first of all, where are you sleeping? We all know, the regular listeners to Horses in the Morning know that you are an avid camper. You love camping. So now, were you camped out last night, or were you in the Hilton?
Let me tell you, you're lying, because I hate camping. I hate sleeping in a tent. I hate sleeping on the ground. It's ridiculous. However, there is a transformation that takes place when you're at a horse trial, and I just have a two-horse straight-load gooseneck with a dressing room, so I actually have a mattress up in my gooseneck, and so when it gets too dark, I've got a little lantern in there, and I climb on up into the gooseneck and go to sleep. So usually it's fantastic. I don't mind it at all. However, for me, who's been living in 115 degrees, to go here, which is overnight lows, 40. 40! It was freezing in there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It always happens to you.
I know. But you know what? I did at least bring Jet's big blanket because he was freezing, too, so I didn't feel so bad. I was like, well, I'm not the biggest wimp here. You're kind of a bigger wimp because you're 1,200 pounds.
Now, do they have stabling, or are you keeping them at the trailers, or what?
Oh, no, there's stabling. He's in a row. And it's kind of fun because I've been taking these lessons with this trainer, Barb Crabo, and she has Four Peaks Farm, and it's an eventing barn. So this is actually the first time I've been to a horse trial where I'm actually part of a group. You know, I'm part of, like, we all have this whole shed row of barns, and just kind of cool to have some camaraderie, if you will. And everybody went to the riders briefing together, and we had the meeting, and we all went to get some food up there because they provided dinner. So it was really good.
Cool. Well, I want to hear more about it because I want you to kind of, when we get back from having Jennifer tell us what's on in our Daily Winnies, just paint the picture for us a little bit, because Flagstaff is so much different an area than where you live in the high desert there. So let's have Jennifer tell us what's coming up today.
Today on the Freestyle Friday, Kentucky Performance Products Friday edition, it's all about Jamie's drama because Jamie brings drama when she's on the road. I can't wait to hear it all. Yeah. You didn't know that, did you? And today we're going to be playing the second half of the Madeline Pickens interview that Jamie and Helena did the other day. And some interesting surprises, maybe a couple of sniffles. It's three ladies in a room together talking about horses, so there's bound to be drama. And stay tuned, because it's going to be really interesting.
And we will not be having two things today. The reading of Black Beauty. Jamie's kind of on the road, so we'll be passing that off until you have it.
Okay, I do. I did bring the book, but I don't know if you want me to read it over the phone, but I do have it, so it is possible.
Well, with you being remote and everything, and it's going to be a shorter show today. We're only going to be an hour today. So after Madeline's done, we're going to be getting on out of here because we have to head over to the horse park for a busy day, too. So why don't we just pass on Black Beauty till Monday? And then also, Really Bad Ads will not be happening today. I'm sorry, everybody. I know there's crying and weeping and gnashing of teeth all around the world because there's no Really Bad Ads today. So you have time to submit your Really Bad Ads before next week, and I'm working on some good prizes for next week. So get them into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with Really Bad Ads in the subject line. I know she's been getting some this week, so look for that again next Friday. But right now, we have this. My Daily Winnie today goes out to somebody who posted, I don't remember her names, I think she's a newbie, although we're getting so many listeners now, it's getting hard for me to remember them all. She posted on our website, actually, on yesterday's show. It was Jean Parisi, and she said, love the show, in capital letters, and thank you. Love Madeline. She is big-hearted and compassionate and standing up for horses and burros, wild and domesticated, wonderful show. So thank you so much, Jeannie. We really appreciate you posting that on our website, and welcome to Horses in the Morning if you're a new listener. And I heard a lot of compliments about your interview, the first part of your interview yesterday, Jamie, so good job.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, she's easy because, you know, it's girls talking about horses, so not challenging.
That's true. All right, well, it's your turn.
Well, it's only been a day and a half maybe since I gave her a Daily Winnie last time, but today's Daily Winnie goes out to Zenyatta because I wanted to update you guys. They did an ESPN-related auction. The ESPYs were this week and or maybe next week. I don't know when they are, but they were doing the ESPN Awards. Well, what they decided to do was auction off a really spectacular VIP day at the Breeders' Cup, and you get to go and meet Zenyatta. And this was auctioned off on the Mike and Mike radio show. Zenyatta, the meeting with Zenyatta raised $11,200 for cancer research. So I wanted to fill everybody in and update them on how much she got and just congratulate her and her team around her. My gosh, they just, you know, when horses retire from the track, they usually just kind of fade away to, you know, their breeding farms and all that. Maybe you'll hear about them when they have a baby. But for the most part, this horse is still daily, you know, on top of mind because they just continue to they like using her for the power of good, you know, which I appreciate.
Well, that's terrific. Well, congratulations to the whole Zenyatta clan. She keeps on running, doesn't she?
She
may be getting fatter by the day, but she keeps on running in many different ways. Speaking of rescues, I have a glory story today.
Yay!
And our glory story relates to that intro. Glory is the greyhound that we rescued a couple weeks ago. We've had her for 2 weeks now. And she's starting to, you know, first week she was just kind of lackadaisical and laying around and not doing much, kind of watching life and figuring it all out. This week she's become more animated. And this morning we were preparing for the show, and all of a sudden we hear that woof. It was the first time she barked. She actually was looking out the window, barking at the neighbor's dog. So she can bark. We have evidence of that now. It really, in 2 weeks, was the first time we actually heard her do a woof, and it sounded exactly like the one you hear in her intro right there. So Glory can bark, and we hope that she does not make a habit of it.
I was going to say, did you, like, smile and laugh and praise her and encourage her? Like, oh, my God, she barked. Does she think that barking is a great thing? Because
no,
my
you know, actually, it kind of scared us because we didn't know what it was at first. We hadn't heard it before.
Strange noise.
Greyhounds are not known for barking. They're pretty quiet. And they have to get really excited to bark. And she was pretty excited. She wanted to go out and play with the neighbor dogs because they get to run loose because they actually stay in their yard and stuff. And she doesn't get to do that. But she got to go to the dog park yesterday. I got to tell you a quick funny story about the dog park. She goes to the dog park every other day, and it's about 12 acres. It's a huge dog park. Well, there was only one other dog in the dog park, which is very unusual, and it was a great big, what are the kind with the barrel underneath their chins, Jamie?
Saint Bernard.
It was a Saint Bernard, thank you. Great big fat Saint Bernard. And she has this habit at the dog park of running up to the other dogs at about 100 miles an hour, you know, greyhound speed, putting on the brakes, looking at them, and then taking off, waiting for them to chase her. Well, the Saint Bernard took chase. And
really?
Let me tell you, oh, yeah, but it didn't take more than 10 steps for him to realize this isn't even worth it. And then he stopped. Well, she did the whole lap all the way around, came back to him again, and did it again. Well, he took chase again, and again another 10 steps before he figured out that that wasn't much fun. And that was it. St. Bernard was done, and Glory was kind of disappointed that he didn't keep it up a little bit longer. But, you know, when you weigh about 200 pounds and you're fat, it's kind of tough to keep up with a greyhound.
Yeah, pretty much no chance on that one.
It's kind of funny, though.
All
right,
great.
So now tell us, paint us a picture here. So you live in the desert of Phoenix where it's just sand and hot and dirt and all that stuff. And now you're up in Flagstaff, which is completely different, isn't it?
It really is, Glenn. You know, when you're driving up here, it takes maybe 3/4 of a tank of gas to get here. Driving home, it takes 1/4 of a tank of gas to get home because it is straight up a hill. I went from pretty much sea level all the way. Now we are currently at over 7,000 feet. Flagstaff is actually higher than Denver. So it is incredibly incredibly high and incredibly cold. Not incredibly cold, but just much colder. Like yesterday's high was 70. So it's wonderfully beautiful in the summertime. In the wintertime, they actually have ski slopes up here, so you can actually go skiing in Flagstaff. You know, it's kind of like it's three hills that you can ski down, and it's great if you need a ski fix. So the way that I mean, what I'm in right now is a pine forest, and I got to tell you that, you know, it's definitely a challenging thing to be on cross country going through a forest, and I'll tell you why, because when you're going on cross country, you're trying to rate your speed, and you have to finish your cross country course, and you're going at a gallop, and you have to finish in a certain amount of time. Well, everybody told me the first time I competed here that I would have time penalties. But I was on my old horse, and I'm like, please, I have to hold him back the whole time. Well, I did have to hold him back, and I was like slowing him down. I'm like, we're going way too fast. Then I realized I was 30 seconds late. I had 30 seconds worth of time penalties, which is very slow. And it was because you don't understand that with those trees, you're basically going on paths through these pine trees. And the trees whip by you so fast that you actually feel like you're going a lot faster than you actually are. So then you just have to kick it up a notch. So it's an interesting cross-country ride because it is very dramatically different. And I walked my course last night, and the first half of it is downhill, and the second half of it's uphill. So should be exciting on my green thoroughbred, who really has never done this before. So, you know, my expectations for this event are just to finish. But as far as painting a picture, it's just gorgeous. It is just so pretty up here. But I've got my little fun story about my silly thoroughbred. Went for the little schooling ride yesterday, and, you know, you come back up, and you want to get them bathed and everything because I'm riding here in about an hour and a half. And so I decided to bathe him, but it was about 5 o'clock at night, and it had cooled down to about 60 degrees. But I've got his cooler and his blanket, and they've got some wash pads down at the bottom of the hill. Are you following me?
Yep, I'm following.
Okay. Wash pads down the bottom of the hill where all the hoses are. So I take him all the way down the bottom of the hill. I get my bucket, my sponge, and my sweat scraper, and all ready to go. First of all, there was no way my horse was going near a concrete pad in the middle of the woods. It just was a death trap to him. And they have these little, like, slats where you walk the horse in and you tie them up. But my horse doesn't tie. So here I am standing off the concrete pad, where the water has been running this entire time. I'm up to my ankles in mud. So I just am like, okay, I guess I'll have to stretch the hose out here and I'll have to bathe him. I'll just clean his legs tomorrow morning. Well, I stretched the hose all the way out. And there's plenty of other people bathing their horses. It's not like I was the only one torturing my horse with a bath at 5 p.m. Now, at this higher elevation and these cooler temperatures, the water comes out, let's just say, a little chilly. I mean, it might have been 1 degree from freezing. And my thoroughbred, who has sensitive skin, he doesn't even like being brushed, much less hosed. He doesn't even like being hosed down after a hot day of riding. So I go to hose him down, and, you know, picture this. Cross ties, concrete pads, 6-8 horses standing there calmly getting a bath, and you look to the side, and there's that one idiot who is holding onto her horse with a hose in one hand, a sponge in the other hand, which is holding onto the lead rope that's dripping suds, and I'm spraying my horse while I'm lunging him. Circles. That's multitasking.
Yeah,
multitasking.
You know what, though? I think everybody with a retired thoroughbred has an off-the-track thoroughbred has been that person.
That's me every time I give Beaker a bath. Every time.
Yeah, Beaker's the same way.
Is he really? I mean, of course it ends up with myself getting the bath. And so the only thing that actually got washed on my thoroughbred, because I wasn't going anywhere near his hind end. He was not having it at all. The only thing I got washed was his neck and his shoulders on the front on both sides.
Word has gone through the grounds now, too, that you're the one to watch. Stay away from that horse. You don't want to warm up near that horse. You're going to get a wide berth by everybody on the showgrounds this weekend.
You talk about that, but it's actually funny. My coach was like, would you come down for dressage tomorrow and you see everybody in the warm-up area? I want you to just walk on past that and see that area in the corner over there in the infield of the track.
They made you go to the dunk field. You have to wear a little pointy cap.
She's like, that's where you're going to warm up. And she goes, and I'll figure something out for cross country.
She's going to have you all the way down to the parking lot somewhere.
Oh, God, I'm putting it all together. I am that guy.
You are. You know what, though? The consolation is you'll only be that guy for 4 or 5 more shows.
Yeah. That's comfort. comforting. That's
yeah.
really comforting.
Yeah, I thought I'd help you there. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I am here to support you, Jamie.
Yeah, you're here to laugh at me. I know the difference. I know the difference.
Well,
so the post-bath, put the cooler on, the post-half-bath, put the cooler on. Then I had to braid because I'm riding this morning. And I went down and fed my horse already before the show. And, yeah, there's about... It's about 60% of the braids that are out.
You braided last night?
Well, I have to. I ride at 8:30 this morning, and
well,
we're getting done.
How long does it take to braid a horse?
How long does it take you?
About 20 minutes.
Oh, good Lord. Come on over.
See, the difference is, Jamie, you were not Pony Club. Pony Clubbers can braid in about 20 minutes. They
you know
got that
was,
down
you
pat.
You know what it was that taught me to braid? Because in Pony Club, at least when I was in Pony Club, this was in ancient history, braiding was actually not allowed. You were not permitted to braid your horses for Pony Club competitions. So I really wasn't very good at it. But when I went to work at the Myopia Hunt Club, where you had to have 14 horses at a time braided, I got better at it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I got really good at braiding. But yeah, braiding the night before—that's always dicey. Do you use the? Are you a thread, rubber band, or yarn person?
Well, you know what I tried. I actually bought from the Stable Scoop episode. I heard it, and it was a braiding wire.
Oh, you tried the wires?
Well, I forgot them.
So you didn't try the wires.
So my intentions were to try the wires. However, I currently use rubber bands because I'm old school like that.
Now, did you remember the rubber bands or did you have to borrow the rubber bands?
No, I got those. I had those, thank God. Yeah, so currently have crooked and half rubbed out with shavings in them, rubber bands, braids that I have to go redo before I then get dressed and ride down the hill to the racetrack where I'll be doing my dressage test. So I'm really set up for success.
You left out the most important story of the morning, though, that you were telling us before we came on the air. And it's that none of this is,
Before she gets to the story, would it not be unfortunate if somebody down there in the warm-up arena had the call to post as their ringtone on their phone?
Oh, God.
Just had that vision of somebody's phone ringing nearby.
It sounds something like this.
And then the bell.
Without the bark.
I think I'm going to throw up.
All right, so now you left out the story. You know, again, regular listeners to the show know that somehow, some way, crap, and that's not the word I would have normally used, crap always happens to Jamie. When she goes places and does things, there's always a story, or if not 10, because crap happens to Jamie. And I heard you're not competing this weekend.
Oh, this is funny.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. So I'm part of the Chronicle of the Horse team challenge. So I'm actually part of a team. And they combine scores, and they, you know, the lowest one gets eliminated, it gets kicked out, and the best scores, you know, win this team challenge along with, you know, your individual competition. So I'm super excited. I've never been on a team, and I run down there, and I go to see, you know, they posted the teams. I go to see who's on my team. And I look at the list, and there's, you know, my friend Christine. You know, the list goes down, and there's four riders, and then there's me. But it says Jamie Jennings, and then it says SCR. SCR. That sounds an awful lot like scratch. Huh. So I go over to Christine. I'm like, what is the SCR? Does that mean my scores don't count or something? Because there's supposed to be four people and I'm the fifth. She was like, I don't know. I'll go ask Barb. So Barb walks over and goes, yeah, that says that you're scratched. So then she goes over to the secretary's tent. My student, Jamie Jennings, she's scratched, says the secretary. Barb's like, what do you mean she's scratched? She's right over there with her horse. And the lady's like, oh, no, she's scratched. She's not here. Barb's like, she's right there. Like, She didn't scratch.
You know what? I think the secretary was listening to the show yesterday morning and heard that you weren't going to be able to get your horse loaded on the trailer, and she just thought she would save time by scratching you right then.
Yes, I think you're right. Because, you know, yesterday on the website was my ride time, which is like around 8:30 this morning, and my cross-country time around 2:30 tomorrow. And I checked the website this morning, and I'm taken off of it.
Are you not even on the website? You are scratched.
No. And so I don't know what the heck to do.
You're going
to
get down to the in gate, and the gate steward's going to be standing there going, I don't have you on the list, lady. You ain't riding.
God, I hope not. I don't need that kind of more drama. But yeah, so Barb said she took care of it. The secretary was like, oh, okay, I'll take care of it. But I'm still not back up on the website. So apparently I'm here on a horse where I'm going to do dressage on a racetrack that I'm not supposed to be on.
You're a show crasher.
They're like, oh, you're the girl that was lunging your horse and bathing him at the same time. Nice.
Yeah, maybe they scratched you for that. It's like, uh-oh, we're just going to scratch her now because he's going to jump out of the dressage ring and be scratched anyway. So, you know, they're saving you from the big E. They're trying to help you here, Jane.
Nice, Glenn. I wanted to ask Jennifer something. I've got to ask her opinion on something. Because this is like, this to me is the biggest challenge of dressage. And in eventing, most 99% of the people wear their black hunt coat and white breeches. Now, I have white breeches that I have worn maybe four times. And after each competition, it is a bleaching and scrubbing and soaking nightmare because who the heck wears white around horses? Why would we ever do that? So I'm asking Jennifer, have you ever been able to keep a pair of white breeches white?
As soon as they are worn to a horse show, that's it. It's all in. You could hang up 100 pairs of white riding breeches on a clothesline, and you could spot mine every time because they were the ones that had black riding glove fingerprints from the knees to the hips. Because you know how it's hot, it's sticky, it's sweaty, you have to, you know, adjust the breech thing before you can get your foot in the stirrup. Well, the idiot that I am, I never did learn to not do that with black riding gloves on.
Oh, where you hike them up and then you
leave
a handprint.
Yeah, so I had Dalmatian riding breeches, not white riding breeches.
Well, that's good to know because, you know, I was trying to think of, like, what are the ways that you can actually stain? I mean, because we're always trying to keep them clean, that never works. So I'm trying to think of the ways that you can actually stain riding breeches so I could try to avoid those. So
we can eliminate black riding gloves. Don't go there.
Okay, no hiking up the britches, you know, with your riding gloves on. The way that I have the biggest problem is, okay, I'm going to mount my horse. I'm in my white britches, my boots. So you're uncomfortable anyway. And so you go to stand there next to the mounting block, and you stand up there, and you gather your reins, and you got one hand on his mane, one hand on the back of the saddle. And then he turns around and wipes his slimy mouth on you.
Happens every time.
Every time. I don't know how many of my left thigh breeches have just slobber marks on them, and usually green because they've eaten hay or taken a bite of grass or something when you're trying to mount. It's just been a nightmare. So, yeah, every left thigh of mine has this big, like, dark-colored mark on it, but the gloves is good. The other thing I've done is you go to sit down on some bleachers or something where everybody else's feet have been propped up on, and then you get the butt mark.
All right, Jennifer, there's the question of the day. How do you keep your white breeches white? Any tricks? So there's the question of the day for Facebook.
No, it's how do you not stain them?
No. I want to know the ways to stain white breeches at a horse show because I know I can't keep them clean. So it's not a way to keep them clean. I want to keep a way to avoid dirt. What situation would you find yourself getting your white breeches dirty?
Do you wear your little your breeches skirt, the little skirt over your breeches that all the girls used to? I don't know, they still do that. Are they wearing sweatpants now?
Sweatpants
used to wear
seem
skirts.
To be more popular right now.
Yeah, Jennifer used to
wear
skirts years ago, and they all wore skirts over there.
Oh, no, I haven't
seen any people
in skirts.
Before you get on?
I do, you know what I wear? It's kind of a good luck charm. I like to consider it a good luck charm anyway. Is my, and we've all seen them, my Superman pajama pants. Like really nicely.
Because you know you're going flying.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jamie, we have to let you get out of here. You have to go get ready for your dressage test, and we got Madeline Pickens to get to. So coming up right now is going to be part two of the Madeline Pickens interview that Jamie and Helena from the Stable Scoop radio show did. And I want to let everybody know, I put the introduction. You're not hearing the first one over again. I actually put the introduction in again, so those that missed it yesterday can hear Jamie's introduction to Madeline, and then we go to part two. And if I remember right, Jamie, you had just asked her a question. Does anybody remember what the question was?
Oh, I do. What is your proudest moment? Because you've done
so many
awesome
things. That's where it picks up. Jamie had just asked Madeline, what is her proudest moment? If you missed yesterday's part one of this, you can go back and take a listen to that. Also, the whole thing in its entirety, played right through, is on the Stable Scoop radio show today. That's live right now at stablescoop.com. So if you want to hear the same interview, you can also go over to Stable Scoop and hear the whole thing played together. So, Jamie, good luck this weekend. Wear that .2 vest and be safe. Let us know. Keep us in touch so that we can post on Facebook over the weekend, or you can post on Facebook how you're doing, and we'll make sure we keep an eye on you.
Well, I would say that you could check CoconinoHorseTrials.com for the live scoring, but since I've been eliminated, I don't know if they'll have it up there. You can look. I am in the senior beginner novice group. All right, guys, thank you so much. And I'm going to go rebraid my horse and try to maybe clean him up a little bit.
Yeah. Have a great time.
All right. All right.
Yay.
Have a good time. Be safe.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, there goes Jamie off for her horse trials this weekend.
Bye,
Jennifer and I are going to be with you through the rest of the show today. You know, all horses have individual nutritional needs, and we know that meeting them can be challenging. It doesn't matter if you're a professional horseman or a weekend warrior. You want to provide the nutrition necessary for your horse to thrive. I think probably Jamie fits into that weekend warrior this weekend. The experts at Kentucky Performance Products understand this and have developed supplements that target specific needs. One of those needs is dealing with the heat, something that Jamie's not dealing with right now. Horses sweat. As they sweat, horses lose water and vital electrolytes. Summer Gains Plus Electrolyte Paste mimics the composition of equine sweat, supplying your horse with the exact amount of electrolytes he needs. But what makes Summer Gains Plus really unique is that it also contains naloxone acid. Nalox protects your horse's stomach from the negative effects of stress. This extra protection is especially important for horses exposed to stressful situations, such as jet, such as at competitions, transportation, and unfamiliar stabling. Summer Gains Plus is packaged in an easy-to-use syringe, making administration fast and accurate. So when your horse is on the go, keep him at the top of his game with dual-action Summer Gains Electrolyte Plus. Plus Electrolyte Paste is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, helping to keep your horses healthy, sound, and competitive, and you can find them at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. We're going to be live from KPP here in the next couple of weeks. They moved into a new building, a new warehouse and everything, so we're going over to see how it's all done, and we're going to be coming live from there. Jennifer and I are going to be back after part two of the interview with Madeline Pickens here, and as I said, the introduction, I replayed the introduction, so you're not hearing part one all over again. She'll be answering the question Jamie asked right after the introduction. So
yes.
we'll be back.
That other voice, that's Helena in there.
Yes, that's Helena B. from the Stable Scoop radio show. They got together to do this interview because they both dying to talk to her. So we'll be back after the interview to wrap up the week and to tell you what's coming up next week.
Well, Madeline Pickens is the epitome of the successful businesswoman, but she's not just a businesswoman. She's an owner of thoroughbred racehorses. She's a breeder. She's an animal welfare activist, philanthropist, author, former model, entrepreneur, wife, and mother. She was introduced to horse racing in the 80s and was the owner of a horse that you might have heard of named Cigar. She has also owned Show Jumpers, has been victorious in prestigious races, including the Breeders' Cup, Santa Anita, even had a horse go in the Derby. She even still finds the time to ride. Now, to get to the meat of it, She has donated money and saved horses, working with Old Friends Equine, saving horses from Japan, flying them to the rescue, and following her marriage to Boone Pickens, the couple led the fight to close the last horse slaughterhouse in the United States. Their work resulted in the passage of the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act by the House of Representatives. To add to it, during the disaster caused by Hurricane Katrina in August of 2005, they donated $7 million to our friends at the Red Cross to aid the people and the city of New Orleans. They flew on their own personal dime animals that needed help that were left behind and sent them to rescues all over the country. And after the BLM announced in 2008 that the government was considering euthanasia and or selling more of the 30,000 wild Mustangs to slaughterhouses overseas, Madeline Pickens said no. She announced plans to develop a 1 million acre sanctuary for the horses. And on September 13th, she was named, of 2008, she was named ABC News' Person of the Week. She's an animal lover. She's an amazing woman. And she makes her our pick to join the ranks of the Woman's Hope series. Heartfelt, overcoming, passionate, empowering. She certainly fits that to a T. So please welcome Miss Madeline Pickens. And it's going to be a revolution, and I'm incredibly proud of what you do. But I want to know, what is your proudest moment in everything you've done?
Oh, I think when I delivered my daughter.
I knew you were going to say that, too. I really did. I think it is amazing. And has she followed in your footsteps as far as loving animals and being compassionate?
Oh, she's so sweet, and she's got two small children, and she wrote me a lovely letter, and she said, you know, Mom, I'm so proud of what you're doing, and right now I'm busy raising my children, but when it's time, I'll be there to take over. And, you know, it was so sweet, it made me cry.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people will say, what was your proudest moment? I don't know. I think we all have many proud moments, you know, you know, when I married my husband, you know, when my daughter was born, when the horses arrived, when that first truckload of Paiutes arrived, when that first airliner took off out of Baton Rouge with the dogs and cats on board, I cried. I mean, it was like Noah's Ark taking off. And the thing that I felt was there's going to be some people there that are sad because they don't know what happened to their dogs. They left them behind. But now they know there's airliners taking off with them, and they can dream that their dog or their cat was on there, and it will go to a good home. And the same thing with the horses. When they arrived, they were coming from the killer buyers. They were headed, you know, to be slaughtered. And this time they were on a truck. They didn't know where they were going, but they arrived at the sanctuary. And, you know, I cried. It was just so beautiful just to see these animals become free. And they've all gained so much weight. They just look so good. And it's just made me realize, you know, just keep on it. You're doing the right thing, because when you can sleep at night, you know you're doing it right.
I'm sorry. I was just, what you heard was me gasping, because I'm watching, as I'm listening to this this conversation, one of the things I know that you wanted to talk about was a message that you created to send to Oprah, and it was a video, I Care About Wild Horses. And I've sort of had it playing in the background as we're having this conversation, and, you know, I'm listening, and then I'm looking up at the video, and on two occasions, the video has actually made me gasp out loud about the way these animals are treated, the approach that the helicopters and the people the approach that they are taking is so callous, and I'm scared, and that approach and that perspective on these animals will be the majority. It makes me sad. I know it makes you sad. It makes you sick, and then that inspired you to take action.
Well, just what? Go down to any shelter or see these dogs that are tied on a chain in the backyards, and people don't feed or water them. But, you know, animal cruelty is big. It's big in the world, and it's big in this country. And what that footage we put out there is not the worst footage. We had to be very careful what we put there because people don't want to see the terrible things. They don't want to see it. So I wish I could put it out, but I can't. Mm. But we have much worse footage than that with the burrows being hit and have their heads slammed against these metal pens and things just for fun. I mean, they're just having fun. So it was shocking. It made me ill.
What do you do with that? I mean, it must make you sad and angry and energized all at the same time. I mean, when you must feel this mix of emotions. I know you do. What do? Do you slam your fist down and say, that's it, and then you pick up the phone? Or how do you channel that, those emotions into, I mean, I think that's a challenge for most of us who are impacted or affected by these videos and by the cruelty. How do you channel that into something positive?
Well, you know, I learned at an early age, I once met a therapist, God, it's got to be 42 years ago, and I said, what do you do when you get angry? And he said, God gave us anger for a reason. And he said, anger is so that you use it, but don't use it against yourself. Use it to do good. And I understood that, and I realized so many people have anger management, but they don't take that and put it, go into a project and save something, you know. And when I first found out about horse slaughter, you know, and I saw the videos of it, I would cry and cry, and I was devastated, and I felt helpless. And then one day I just realized, you know, I'm going to pray. And when I pray, I've changed my praying. I realize what separates us from animals, and that is that God gave us a brain. And so often, you know, we go, oh, God, just help me. I want my son to win this tournament or this competition, or can we win this? And, you know, God's on both sides of the team, so he can't do that. But what he did when he put us on earth is he gave us the brain. And he said, I've now given you all the tools to fix anything and everything. So when I pray, I go, God, thank you for everything. I said, help me. Please help me dig down deep inside and figure out a way that I can help fix this mess. Help me think of a solution. And I remember doing that when I first came up with the idea for the foundation and for the sanctuary. And I woke up in the morning and my head was clear. And I said, of course that makes sense. Why don't I go to the BLM and ask them if I buy a ranch like every other rancher or cattleman, and I buy the deeded lands, would they convert the puppet lands if I buy the allotments to those as well? And they liked the idea, and they said yes. And, you know, after all, then it becomes property rights. Now I have the rights to the deeded land, and when you own the deeded land, you own the water rights to the puppet lands. So surely now, you can't bring people out from Washington or New York and have them stand on 500,000 acres or 1,000 square miles and say, hey, there's not enough room here for these horses. I mean, they would look at you sideways and say, this is corruption or this is some silly argument that's archaic. We need to change this. I mean, it's not possible that you can't put more horses out there. And so the thing is to work together as a team. You know, I have the idea. I now bought the land because I would talk about it when I went to Washington. I would see, you know, Feinstein, and she'd say, okay. And then finally she said, Madeline, just go and buy the land, and when you do it, we can get it done. So I bought the land, and, you know, hopefully she's going to be on board to help us, along with Senator Landrieu. And you've seen Congressman Dan Burton up there on the floor. I mean, he's not afraid. He's horrified and ashamed that we're spending this kind of money. There's a ton of congressmen and senators that really do want this fixed. After all, America's got big problems, you know, and you can't have this kind of nonsense going on when we've got major, major problems. And our problems are not over in this country. So we need to get off the stick and allow the private sector to fix this. And then let the government get on to doing other things that are that would have more impact and more importance. You know, right now, with the cattle grazing, they pay 4 cents a day per cow to graze on public lands. And the government takes in, I don't know, 16 or 20 million from the ranchers for cattle income, you know, on these grazing, for these grazing rights, which is nothing, because it costs them over $120 million to run the operation. So, you know, here you have an operation where the ranchers have asked the government or set the standards for how many horses are allowed there. And then they say, okay, now remove the rest. We don't want them. And so the government has to come and help the rancher out, remove the horses, and then they give it to another rancher in Kansas or, you know, Texas or Oklahoma, and they pay them. So they keep paying all these ranchers and these cattlemen to take care of horses. And you know what? We can fix it all. Right now, the horses, there's 15,000 that are in short-term holding. They have to pay $2,500 a year per horse in short-term holding. And they pay $500 to the ones in the long-term holding. So I said, give me the horses from short-term holding at $2,500 a year cost to you. I will take about $500 and I will put them in a sanctuary where the public can see them, because right now you can't see them in long-term holding because it's private land, so they are excused, and there's no transparency. There's too many stories about there about what happened to these horses. You know, they don't know. Who knows when they die? Who knows what happens? Because you can't see. And when you don't have transparency, people talk. So, you know, with or without the government, my sanctuary is moving forward. If they want to engage, save the taxpayer money, bring them to me, great. If they don't, we're not going to stop. You know, we'll take care of the horses. It'll be sad if they don't come to us. And it's sad because we said, look, you keep talking about us as a pilot program, but hurry up and do it so that we can then acquire more land and take care of 30,000 horses. But, you know, when you keep talking about a pilot program but 1,000 horses and you've got 1,000 square miles, you start, you know, crossing your eyes and rolling your eyes and saying, come on, you know, you've been in this mess for a long time. I've been standing in front of you for a long time saying, come on in, let's be friends and let's make this work together.
Mm-hmm. Girl, I'm about to load up my trailer right now and head that way. I'm telling you.
That makes two of us.
So when you've got all this going and you've made this video, you know, first of all, I want to find out how people can get involved. And then I want to know, did Oprah get the video? Has she seen this powerful piece that you guys made?
You know, I talked to Wayne Pacelli at the Humane Society. Yeah, and Wayne, I think, is a great, great head of the Humane Society. You know, there are always stories out there. And I always say to people, you know what? He does legislation. And legislative work is the hardest thing to do, and it's very, very costly to do. So they've been wonderful in getting a lot of things enacted for us. And, you know, they fought the puppy mill bill in Missouri, and they've got to go again. But you know, that's hard work. But, okay, what was the question? I digressed and I didn't mean to.
No problem. I want to know, you know, first of all, how can people get involved? And then second of all, did Oprah ever see the video?
Oh, okay. So somebody said to her from her group of people, hey, what are you guys up to? What are you doing? You know, or what is she doing to us? And so Wayne said, what's it about, Madeline? And I said, well, you know, Oprah's name is a little bit like Coca-Cola. If you use Oprah's name, you know, it's America. And right. I don't know her personally. And we've seen all the wonderful work she has done with different groups. And I didn't know how to reach her. So I said, look, the public knows Oprah. Let's just say, Oprah, can you help us? And one day if she decides to help us, great. If she doesn't, you know, our first go around, we had over 15,000 hits. And then there was a mess up with the music and one obscure group that we didn't have a release from because I don't think we knew how to get it, complained. So we had to redo it and just take the music off somewhere and put it up again. And it lost momentum when you do that. But it was a very successful video. If she wants to help us, you know, I'd be delighted. But if not, 15,000 people or 20,000 have seen it now. And I can't expect her to help everybody and everything, but this is a big thing to Americans, and it is our American horse. Gosh, without it, you know, I mean, they joined the Missouri and the Columbia River. They were our ships. You know, they did everything for us. And, you know, society has a way of letting go of things that helped them in the past. I mean, to build a bronze monument and then just say, okay, that's it. Now we don't have to worry about it being knocked down by the wind or anything. You know, well, these horses still live. They're, you know, we've still got their offspring. They're still around to help us. And you can't ignore them. They have to be fed. They have to be watered. But more than that, they're a treasure. And our children want to see them.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, and I think that, first of all, what we're going to do is, whether my boss likes it or not, we're going to post this video on our website and also on our Facebook page and make sure that people, if they want to, they have the chance to view it, because I think it's inspiring and it's powerful and it will make you angry. And like you said, anger will channel into something good. And I really believe that. And seeing this video made me have to talk to you about it.
It did. The other thing, me too, Jamie. It moved me to do something about it. And I even posted it on my Facebook page and said, just watch it from beginning to end. It's not totally gruesome, but it is important. And then, you know, the plea is to watch it and then decide what you're going to do about it, because it's not just about horses. It's about who we want to be as human beings. And how we want to treat not just the animals that we share this world with, but each other. And I think that, Madeline, is going to be the beginning of solving the problems that do plague our country. Those big, big problems that, you know, we put to this, because those problems stem from this. It's who we are as people, who we are as the human beings with the brains. We need to do a better job of using those brains and being compassionate.
Yes, you're right. And, you know, what I found is that it's grassroots that works. So if everybody that listens to you Facebooks all their friends and says, go to Saving America's Mustangs, or be a fan of Saving America's Mustangs, or, you know, and they, if everybody took their mailing list and blasted it and said, I like this, why don't you sign up? Or you go to a website that says, be a supporter. Then we send you information all the time. When there's a gather, we ask you to join in and support us and say, we don't support this gather. You need to stop. Or we send a letter to Bob Abbey, or we send one to Salazar, or you know, and we send nice, polite letters. But it's when they see that the public really, really is engaged in this. And you know, whereas before, several years ago, not too many people knew about it. Now, you know, everybody's getting involved, and it's becoming an embarrassment for the government. Yeah, so yeah. Everybody, SavingAmericasMustangs.org, go to our website, Facebook it, and sign up with us, please, and tell your friends. It's spreading the word. It's. I can't tell you, we're so lucky that we have Facebook. We're so lucky that we have the Internet, because that lets the truth out.
Yeah. It really does. So the website, again, is SavingAmericasMustangs.org. You can also find Madeline on Facebook. Just search for Mustang Monument. That is her Facebook page as well. Madeline, you know, your call to action has been heard, and I really hope that, you know, our listeners and everybody involved in this can get behind it and support it and move it forward. You have our 100% support. We cherish you as a woman and as an amazing person who is really, really, you know, you don't just talk about it, you do it. And that is why you are part of the series, and we are so proud to have you on our show, and we just can't thank you enough.
Hey, wait a second. Whose husband just came back from Afghanistan or Iraq?
My husband has been deployed. He actually he's still here in the U.S., just he was deployed, but he is a fighter pilot for the United States Air Force, and I'm incredibly proud of him.
Well, tell him that we love him. When we support our military, my husband and I, you know, I have a country club here, and I'm always doing events for them. You know, they are invited. They have an open invitation. I can't thank him enough for doing what he does. Tell him thank you, and let him know that we all appreciate and care about the freedom that they have given us. Now, I need to return freedom to our animals here, but I am so grateful to our military. I can't say enough. You know, I mean, what a great country we live in because of these men and women.
Okay, now you're going to make me cry.
I know.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, it's been an honor having you on our show, and I will definitely pass that message along to him and to all the rest of our military. You know, we wouldn't be here without them. We wouldn't be here without the horses. So, you know, we got to save our own people and thank them and show them how much we support and appreciate them. And you're doing that in your own way. And I will be there at Mustang Monument, girl. I'm coming.
Okay,
when it's open, I'm there.
We'll invite you. Don't worry.
Well, okay. Thank you so much. Tell Tommy we said hello and give him a little cookie from us.
The same thing for your brood.
Thanks. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Madeline.
Well, that was an interview with Madeline Pickens, done by Jamie Jennings and Helena B. from the Stable Scoop Radio Show. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am here with Coach Jen. Jamie is off getting ready for her dressage test at the Coconino Horse Trials. You heard her talking about that earlier today. Jennifer and I are getting ready, actually, to head to Briarfest, and it's not because we collect briars. It is because a lot of the people that we know from the Horse Radio Network have become friends over the years are actually demonstrating there. Trish Lynn and the All-American Cowgirls are going to be there, and we're going to play one of her songs out today. And also Guy McClain and several others. My coach, my driving coach, is going to be there doing demonstrations with his four-in-hand Hackney team. The team that I actually drove is going to be there. So, you know, people, horse people especially, that are avid horse people might think Briarfest, wow, that's silly. But, you know, they have some of the best demonstrations ever at Briarfest. Jennifer and I were shocked at how good the demonstrations are there.
Yeah, they get the real deal. It's not just the local hoo-has. They really get national names and some really interesting professionals. So it's a place that people who collect briars and people who are passionate about real live horses, you can both have a great time. It's not just for the plastic horse folk.
That's
not
right.
We don't
yep.
love you, plastic horse folk. I was one of them too.
6,000 people are going to be
incredible.
There today,
that's
which
incredible.
Is, you know, that's a lot of people at the horse park, actually. You know, on dressage days at Rolex, they'll have 6,000 to 10,000 people. So that gives you an idea of how many people come for this event. So we're looking forward to that. We're heading over to meet some of our friends. We're going to be posting some pictures and hopefully some videos. I have to get a video of me with the All-American, you know, cowgirl chicks today. It's just required.
Yeah, you look so good in red, white, and blue.
Yes, I need to wear one of their red, white, and blue coats when I'm there. I can just fit right in with my cowboy hat.
I think the darts might be in the wrong place.
All right, everybody. You know, Pocket Stable is the only iPhone app that has been created for horse owners who want to keep track of all their information, including vaccines, wormings, farrier visits, dentist visits, things like that. If you haven't gone and bought this yet, you should. It's $3.99. If you have an iPhone, just go to the App Store, look up Pocket Stable, download the thing, and start using it. You're gonna keep better track of your horses and what's due when than you ever have before. You know what? It's a cup of coffee. That's all this thing costs is a cup of coffee. Just go buy it. You'll have it then in your phone from now until forever. Go to, or you can visit them at pocketstable.com. Note about next week, Jennifer and I are going to be live at the Horse Park again on Thursday. It will be a little bit of a different day. We're going to be live at the Pony Club Nationals are held at the Horse Park there. And then it's every 3 years they hold festival?
I think it's every four.
Every 4 years?
That when we get there.
So
yeah.
It's a big event this year at the Horse Park. It was supposed to be last year, but because of the WEG, they had to postpone it till this year. And we're going over there. We're going to be interviewing a bunch of the kids who are going to be on with us that day. Pony Club has asked us to come over, so we're excited to join them over at Pony Club Festival. That's quite an affair, with thousands of kids running around giggling a lot.
Well, there's giggling, there's stress. Oh, my goodness, it's the championships. There's drama. There's children with upset stomach that need Pepto-Bismol. It's just, it's a crazy thing.
We're hoping to talk to somebody from every one of the sports that they do, and it's like 7 or 8 different sports they do. So we're hoping to talk to someone from every one of those. They're helping us get all this arranged, and we thank the Pony Club for their help and for their invitation to come over and do that. We really appreciate it. Well, that's it for us. We have to get out of here. We got Briarfest to attend to. And everybody have a terrific weekend. We're going to play the show out today with Trish Lynn and the cowgirl chicks. A little rodeo world. This is their introductory song. We are probably going to hear it today when we listen to their song, or when we see their show, rather, over at the Kentucky Horse Park. We all hope you have a great weekend. Remember to wear your helmets, get a ride in, enjoy your shows. Whatever you're doing this weekend, make it a horsey one.
And spay, neuter, and geld.
Howdy, everybody. I'm Bob Tallman. Welcome to Fort Worth, Texas. Now, the higher they jump, the better they buck, the better you ride, the more money to win. It's rodeo time, ladies, let's ride.
Hey, I'm real proud of the life I'm living. With that love, girls, I will keep on giving. Rolling down the road to the next show. It's a big thing, we got the rodeo. They ride bulls and broncs from Fort Worth to Austin. My cowboy friends, yeah, they're awesome. It's where the cowgirls chicks ride for the red, white, and blue. With a kick of rock. Yeah, I've been to Nashville and had my knock, so I came home where I belong, back to Texas where my roots are strong. And I admit my heart got broke, so I cowgirled up, had my mind made up that I was gonna make it to the real big show.
Rodeo.